What's going on? It's your boy Mixmaster B here live from the MMB Radio Studios for the MMB Radio Podcast, where no topic is too big or too small. We talk about them all. And on today's episode of the podcast, we have a gentleman who is making his moves into the pro wrestling world. He's been trained by the Nightmare Factories, QT Marshall, and Cody Rhodes. You know it is WrestleMania season, so we're going to talk about finishing the story with Cody. We're going to talk to him right now. So the answer, a.k.a. Josh Breezy. What's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, man. What's going on?
Doing awesome, man. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. And I got so much stuff I want to ask, because when I have different wrestlers on the podcast, I like to get into the psyche of them and find out what it is and how they got into it and all that stuff. So are you down to talk about some of this stuff today?
Yeah, man, of course.
Awesome, awesome. So I hit you up online because I was a lot of times when I meet guests and everything and I have people come on, they catch my eye. Either I'm watching a video or I see them, somebody else talking about them. And I was able to catch some of your matches. And I was like, whoa, this guy is like, he's like one of these hidden gems that like nobody's talking about. And then you, I look at your bios and everything, and trained by QT Marshall and Cody Rhodes. So my first question is, I always ask people, is why pro wrestling? What made you fall in love with pro wrestling and said, you know what, I want to be a pro wrestler?
So just growing up, my dad and my mom both had like WWE Raw on. My mom was a big Undertaker fan, and I just always just grew up watching it. So even as like a young kid, I had all the action figures. I was practicing moves on my pillows, or when I would see my older brothers, we would always play wrestle. And then as I got older, I kind of drifted away from pro wrestling. There was like a large period where I kind of just wasn't into it. And then during COVID, after everything shut down, my music got shut down. I couldn't go out and tour. I saw that the Nightmare Factory was like a thing, and I was like, I didn't even know like that's how you got into pro wrestling. So I just submitted an application, and then last minute heard back from them, and the rest is history, and now I'm here.
It's and a lot of people, you know, go through a lot of these struggles and everything, and we're going to talk about the struggles and everything. But one of the cool things that you mentioned there is that your parents were into WWE, were into wrestling, had it on the TV. A lot of people don't have that luxury. A lot of people, you know, are fans of pro wrestling. I mean, I've been a fan of pro wrestling since I was a little kid, and I can't necessarily say like my family is big wrestling fans and kind of supported that idea. So when you revealed to everybody like, hey, I'm training to be a pro wrestler, what was the reaction from everybody?
Well, that's interesting, actually. At the time, I wasn't speaking to my mom, but I was talking to my grandma, which is her mom. And she was like a little taken back by it. She's always been, even like, it took me getting noticed for my music accomplishments. Now at this point, like, mind you, I had sold out a tour. I had one artist of the year at the, Indie Josie Music Awards. Like, I did all these things, and my grandma was still like hounding me, like, get a real job. You need a social security account, like all this stuff. And then I was like, hey, I'm going to start wrestling. She was just real caught off guard, but she was like, you know, if you could do it in music, I'm sure you could do it in wrestling too. So she was like supportive of it. And I think she like let my mom know that that was going on. And then, from what I understand, my mom was like supporting it from the shadows. And then my dad actually called me just a lot of names. And it's actually the reason we don't speak anymore is because I started doing wrestling. I do talk to my mom now. Me and my mom are cool the other side of the pillow these days. She supports everything I do in wrestling. But yeah, no, my dad was like, first you left baseball to do music, and then you left music to do wrestling. Make up your mind. You always start something and never finish it, blah, blah. You're a screw up, just all this stuff. And I'm just like, how are you going to call me a screw up? And I'm the artist of the year. Like, yeah. I did everything I could in wrestling, and the country shut down. Like, I'm sorry that I can't go out and perform because the country is shut down. And I was like, it's not like I'm going to somebody's backyard to learn. I'm meeting Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like just started AEW, top of the indies, top of everything, Cody Rhodes. Like, how could you be mad at your kid for doing that? That's crazy to me. So
And it's tough because
it was a mixed bag.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because as a parent, I mean, I don't have any children, but I can kind of put myself in both of your shoes. I mean, as a parent, you want the best for your children. And sometimes, you know, we tend to say things out of, you know, frustration or because of ignorance, and we just don't understand, you know. So, like, obviously, like, saying screw up, obviously not the right wording. But you would have to think that there, underneath some layers there, there are, you know, like, obviously, like, your grandmother said, you know, get a real job, you know what I mean? Like, this is a real job. Like, you are making money, you are, you know, being the father figure to your child, you are, you know, you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing as a man. And it's just sometimes it's that, like, people get into this psyche of, like, okay, what is a real job? Like, you should be doing this. And, you know, but I got to put yourself in those shoes, though, is that a lot of these people, you know, come up from different eras. And you just mentioned did baseball, did music, did now into wrestling. So it's obviously you've taken a different career path of what is considered a job in society. You know, most people are like, oh, get a job, get a career, get a pension, you know, but you decided you know,
shoot for the sky.
Yeah, you shot
shoot
your
for the
shot.
Stars and never let the sky start.
You know, and the great thing about it is now you are, you know, doing all these different bookings and everything. So kind of take me through what it was like going through the Nightmare Factory. The first time you got to meet Cody and QT Marshall, and what was your expectations going into something like that?
I had no clue what to expect. Like, in the back of my mind somewhere, I was like, this is going to be like the old, like, you hear the old horror stories of like OVW and all that stuff. So I was like, oh boy. But then I'm like, you know, Cody seems like a nice guy. And I was like, oh, what if he's a dick? And then I was just like, all right. And I think I sat in the parking lot for maybe like 10 minutes and just like worked up the courage to walk inside. And then I get in there, sat down with everybody. And Cody was exactly who he is on TV. Like, that's who you see him, like, hugging babies and all this stuff. Like, that's him. Like, that's my experience with him. I've never had a bad experience with him. Even when I go back now to, like, some of the showcases of the newer classes and I see him, it's just, hey, Breezy, we talk about action figures, how the kids are doing, like, how I'm doing in wrestling, all this stuff. So everything with Cody was great. QT, honestly, I even told this to him to his face. I had no idea who QT Marshall was. And I was like, you know, honestly, I've never seen your stuff.
He's like, I have never seen yours either. So, you know, it's a good thing.
Right, exactly. So then me and him, I think that kind of created our bond, is me being so like open and honest and not trying to like kiss his ass. Like, oh, yeah, I watched you every match in Ring of Honor, like all this stuff. And then the fact that I did take the time to, like, treat him with the same respect as Cody. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I'm here for Cody. QT's just on the side. Like, I've always seen them at an equal playing field. And I've done the research, and I've gone back, and I've watched his Ring of Honor stuff. I've done the research. I watched his the story about the wrestler on Amazon. Like, I did all that. I kept up with him, and obviously, like, I put him above Cody now. Like, I reach out to him for things. My first pair of wrestling tights was an homage to one of his tights that he wore at Ring of Honor, because when we were getting towards the end of the factory, everybody was coming up with like their gear and their characters. And he was asking me like what I was going to wear. And I was like, I don't know if I could do tights. Like, it just doesn't feel like me. But he always put an emphasis on looking like a superstar, looking like a wrestler, like tights, boots, knee pads, elbow pads. Like, like you could look like a star, but still keep that base of a wrestler. So I was like, well, if I'm going to get tights, I might as well, you know, pay a little homage to the God, the original God gives QT Marshall. So my whole experience there was great, man. It was just, you know, you wake up, go to the gym with everybody, and you get trained by the guys who are training the NFL Combine participants. It was those same people at Chip Smith. We would do weights and stuff, weights and cardio in the morning, take about an hour lunch, and then it was in ring with QT and Cody and Glacier. Preston Vance and Alan Angels were there a lot for my class as well. If you watch the class one showcase, I hit 10 from the Dark Order with a Rough Rider, got them out of the ring. It was a good time, man. There was no, No complaints on my end. Like outside of like towards the end, the last couple of weeks, I had to sleep in my car in the parking lot or sleep under the ring. I still don't think QT or Cody knows that. Like I think two or three times I fell asleep under the ring because it was like winter time. So shout out to James, Big James. He was in charge of, locking up at night. So he would let me in there. He'd sleep in the office or in his van. And then I would sleep under the ring on the crash pad, be out before morning when everybody got in.
Now you mentioned you hear so
But
many of these horror stories of the old school way of doing it, like I always hear like the references where, they break somebody's arm or break somebody's leg to kind of scare you out of the business, for whatever reasons it may be, people afraid their spot's going to get taken. And it's changed so much now. But I also hear people tell me that the athlete of like a pro sports and athlete like a pro wrestler, two different types of athletes. Now you came from a baseball background, so you had some athletic ability and everything, but for people that don't quite understand that, like there's people are think that it's just a simple transition, like, oh, I played basketball, I could be a wrestler, or I did this and I could be a wrestler. Explain what some of the differences are with the cardio as far as keeping up stamina.
The cardio is completely different. I'll tell you right now, I'll go to the park with my brother-in-law and play 3 to 4 hours of full court basketball and be fine. But I guarantee you on my match on Friday, I will be blown up after like the first 7 or 8 minutes. It's just because it's the best way to describe it is literally just a car crash. Like no, even the most simplest, like most technical Bret Hart style match is a car crash. Your body just landing on the mat and then running into the ropes, which is just literal steel cables wrapped in like a garden hose material or like a thick duct tape and real like rope, like even like the padding on the turnbuckle. You take a bad turnbuckle, you might just blow yourself up in the first minute. So it's really just a constant, like even though it's only 7 or 8 minutes, you're doing all this running, and it's not just running. Like you're running, you're jumping, you're landing, you're thinking about this, you're trying to breathe. You're taking this bump on the mat and then going right into another bump over here. Like it's definitely a lot different. Especially coming from like not so much of a cardio enthused baseball background. Like I was a pitcher for up until I was 24, so like we didn't do a lot of running. But even in my most fit days, sometimes you still get a little blown up in that ring. So it's a whole different training. And if you don't put yourself in that mindset of, hey, yes, this is how I trained for this, but I have to train differently for this, you're never going to get it. And then like you do see a lot of athletes try to make the crossover. I think some athletes that have excelled in crossing over obviously would be Moose and TNA. I think he's done a great job in crossing over, especially since like his first, I remember watching him when he first debuted to now, light years difference. A lot of people might shit all over me for this, but AJ Francis, Top Dollar, pretty solid transition, I would say. Obviously, people are going to say Goldberg, Lesnar, Jade Cargill to an extent. I did trade with Jade, train with Jade, so got a little soft spot in my heart for Jade. I hope
I think
she
we all do.
does some. I hope she does some great things in WWE. Rooting for her, though she did just say she's never wrestling again because she already makes too much money. But the perfect example though is her husband Brandon Phillips is a superstar athlete in the baseball, but you're never going to see him in a wrestling ring. So it's definitely different, man. And I feel like another thing a lot of athletes do, especially if they're like on the pro level, is they come in with this idea that they deserve to be in the spotlight because of their stance in a different sport. And it's like, this is a whole different arena. Like it's like when Michael Jordan went to baseball, like he didn't go start for the White Sox, like he went to AAA or AA first. And we quickly found out that baseball is not his strong point. So that's a good question. I don't think I've ever been asked that, but
I mean,
yeah,
it's
no,
a
I would
different
definitely do
animal,
that.
and I think the cool thing about it is that like people, for whatever reason, people that are not wrestling fans and they get approached to be like I said, if they had excelled in another sport and want to be a pro wrestler, get approached to being a pro wrestler, the initial is, I'm going to shit all over this because, like, I'm a superstar. I did this, I did that in this sport. This mm-hmm. is nothing. Like, this is all, you know, phony. It's all theater. You know what I mean? Like, this is going to be easy. And they come in and then they realize, whoa, it is a different type of, you know, workout. So when you are training, what is something, if anything, that you had struggle kind of adapting to? Because as a sports athlete doing baseball and being an entertainer, so you obviously got, you know, the charisma part down, you got, you know, the athletic abilities down, but what was something that you had to retrain yourself mentally to overcome?
From a physical standpoint, really just retraining my breathing, mm-hmm. I think. Just breathing, really, like, from, because, so, I'm trying to think of how to say it, I'm sorry.
You're so good, because, well, what I was going to, the reason I was going to follow up with that is that because you hear so many different athletes who, you know, when they walk away from a sport for whatever reasons, retire or career change or anything, especially ones that retire, like, they don't know what to do with themselves in regular life because all they've known mm-hmm. is this sport, like football players, like Tom Brady, you know, all I've known forever is just throwing a football. And now I'm supposed to adjust to a different lifestyle. So having been a, you know, baseball player, I'm sure there's things that you did on an everyday basis as a pitcher that now you're being told, no, we're going to do it this way. And it's kind of like a mental block. Like, okay, how do I live and how do I function in a different realm, in a different atmosphere?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, no, definitely. And then, so I didn't, as a pitcher, I didn't lift a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. It was more so just like if I was lifting, it was lightweight. Cause you want to build like those small muscles. You want to build the small muscles in your forearms and your hands and like the smaller parts of your biceps and your shoulder, like doing all these like small workouts. But in wrestling, you got to be able to lift a grown man. So definitely like weight training was completely different than any weight training I've done before. And then even in wrestling, it was small muscles, but a lot of those different small muscles. So like you're training like your legs more, your core a lot. Like we focused a lot on core and cardio. And then just like back to the breathing thing, like as a rapper, I would do a lot more training focused on being able to breathe less, like if that makes sense, like get more out per breath mm-hmm. as opposed to keeping a constant breath, no matter what kind of pace I'm moving at. So like I'm on the treadmill and I'm like going through my verse, trying to get out this verse in as little breath as I can. Whereas in the ring, you got to be able to hit the ropes and take a breath and then go take a breath mid route, hit the ropes again, take a breath. So that, like just the breathing concept to me was difficult because I was so focused on not breathing, if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. Especially being, like you said, a music artist, like people don't realize, I mean, rap and singing, like there's different ways of breathing. And it's when you're used to doing something on an everyday basis, it's like, again, it can be difficult to kind of do it a different way. But one of the other things I noticed from looking through your profile and catching up with your matches and everything. So what decided the character? Like QT said to you, like, what are you going to wear out there? You know, I always reference the old Deion Sanders quote, you know, if you look good, you play good. If you play good, you get paid good. You know, so like what made you decide, like, this is what I want my character to do? Like, how many times did you have to kind of brainstorm an idea, kind of throw it against the wall and see if it'd stick? And how would you describe your character?
It's going to be very cliche, but I feel like my character is just me turned up to 100. I feel like it's me turned up to about 90, actually, because if you turn me up to 100, it's where I'm going to go with this new God's gift version of me. That's when we get to 100. I don't think anybody's ready for 100 yet, but we're getting there. But coming out of the Nightmare Factory, I got strapped in a tag team because we did a promo class, tag team promos, and we cut the quote-unquote promo of the night. You can still find that tweet on Cody Rhodes' Twitter, where he shouted us out for having the promo of the night. And he was like, you guys are a tag team from now on. That's just how it's going to be. So we were the nice guys, and I had to kind of figure out how to take what I wanted to do and put it with that. So that's when I had the half smiley face paint. As far as the face paint, I knew I wanted to do face paint just because Jeff Hardy's my favorite wrestler. Sting is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. Like, I'm doing face paint. So face paint was always a go. And I just like to be creative. Like, I draw, I paint, I do things like that all the time. So like every time I do a face paint, I've never done the same paint twice. I always just come up with an idea in the locker room and start going at it. As far as I originally wrestled in like jeans or cargos, I just felt comfortable in that, but now I've moved on to tights. And like, again, it just goes back to feeling more like a wrestler. And I've started to kind of tweak the tights to kind of fit more of like the rapper Josh Breezy version of me. It's really just that wrestling with some face paint on. Like, it's just the cool dude. He's the answer to professional wrestling. He's here to fix everything. He'll take the risks. He'll put on a show. You might not have ever seen him before, but as soon as you come into the show, like, no matter what state I'm in, what promotion I'm running, you're gonna be a Josh Breezy fan by the end of this. I am in no means a technical artiste. I am not a Bret Hart, but I can go in the ring, I can entertain the crowd, I can sell, and I just look cool. Like, it's just the cool factor. Like, any, like, I just did a show for the first time ever in, I don't even remember the town, but it was in like real South Georgia, almost Alabama. And literally, we had a 15-minute intermission directly after my match, and they had to extend it to 19 minutes because my merch line was so long, and it took me I had an overrun just to get through all the fans that were coming up to my thing. All these kids wanted to take pictures with me, sign cards. Like, I made the most money I've ever made at a merch table that night. And it's like, these people have never seen me. I've never wrestled in this town. They probably had no idea. Like you said, I say this all the time to myself, that I'm probably like, I feel like I'm like the black sheep of the Nightmare Factory for some reason, because I'm never like talked about. I don't get booked on the Nightmare Factory showcases or like the Turnbuckle Wrestling. They didn't reach out to me for that. And I'm a little salty sometimes, but at the same time, like, maybe there's a reason I just don't know about, because if I see Cody, we're cool. If I see QT, we're cool. I talk to him, like, I text him, he'll answer me right away. Like, there's never been that kind of heat there. So maybe it's just, well, he lives in Florida. Maybe he doesn't want to drive up here, but like, hey guys, if you're listening, I'll drive. I've driven for less. Like,
But is
even
he?
if it's to be anything, like, I just want to be involved.
But you have that chip on the shoulder, you know, that's a motivating
Yeah.
factor, because I think a lot of times people can get complacent in this business and to the point where they, you know, they just content doing whatever they're doing. So I guess it kind of leads me into the question of like, and you may have already kind of answered it, like, what motivates you to keep doing this? Because if, as an independent wrestler, I mean, everybody sees AEW, they see, you know, Ring of Honor, WWE, all these big name companies, and they think it's all glitz and glamour, but there's a struggle. Like, it's not, you're not always on the road every day. So how often are you on the road, and what keeps you motivated to keep doing this?
So this year has been probably my most active year. The year prior was filled with my wife being pregnant, and my daughter being born and a newborn. So I didn't take a lot of bookings. But she just turned one. She's pretty self-sufficient, so I've been taking a lot more. It's almost been like every other weekend. But what keeps me motivated outside from like my daughter, who just loves, like, she loves to come to my shows and watch, even though she's only one. She gets excited and she watches. But besides that, and just getting to AEW, getting to WWE, getting to Ring of Honor, something like that, getting to Impact Wrestling or TNA, like, that was my goal. When I was a rapper, I was like, man, if I could get to TNA, just do one of those spots where like the superstar celebrity comes in and like takes a bump, I could retire. Like when Machine Gun Kelly came and got choke slammed by Kane, I was like, yeah, if I could do that, I've lived every dream I've ever wanted to do. So it's just like just the motivation, just to get the not to get the recognition, because that sounds so narcissistic, But just to like prove everybody wrong, like, yeah, it is a crazy road to get there. But like, unfortunately for everybody that's doubting me, like, they do make cars with gas and I can get there. Just like, yeah, that's really it. Just prove everybody wrong. Everybody's always doubted me my whole life. Regardless of what it was, like when I was in school, my teachers would say, Mr. Walter, he has a signed Josh Breezy baseball, because he told me I would never be anything in baseball. And then I went on to play like until I couldn't anymore. But I saw him one day when I was working at the bank, and he was like, I still have that baseball in my truck. I was like, I'm sure you do. So like, got people like that. Like, he didn't mean anything by it. He was just trying to like get me to live in reality and pay attention in his class. But just people like that always in the back of my mind. You just got to do it. People that told me I would never be anything in music. People like when I was selling dollar CDs in school, like, hey, here's my mixtape, buy my mixtape, and people just wouldn't buy it or they'd laugh at me. And then I went on to be artist of the year. Like, ha ha, sold 100,000 or streamed 100,000 times in the first week. Ha ha. Yeah, I'm a pro wrestler. Like, you'd be surprised how many people from high school are like in my messages every time I post like a match clip. Like, wow, yo, you're really out here doing all this. Everything you said you would back in the day. And I was like, yeah, because I'm not going to give up. Like, we only live one life, so what's the point of living if you're not going to go follow like what you want to do? Like, I work a regular job. I work a nine like a well, it's an 8 to 6, but I do marketing for a health center during the week, and then I go wrestle. But I'm always either coming up with new merch. Like, wrestling is always on my mind, even though I'm work at work. So like, you could always keep your regular job, keep the bills paid until what you love pays the bills. Like, there's no excuse. Like, I go to work, I go to the gym, I come home, I cook for my family, put my daughter to bed most nights, like, and still find time to do everything that I love. So
It's
at
definitely
the
a
end of the
hustle
day,
that
oh yeah,
not
for sure.
everybody's built to do, you know? And I think that's why sometimes you get so much kind of slack from people, because for whatever reasons, whether it's something that they wish they could be doing or they just, you know, have never been wired or built that way to think that that's something that could be reality. So, I mean, even with me doing podcasting and DJing and everything, it's like, you know, you're going to have doubters, you know what I mean? But I look at it as I try to flip the negative and make it into a positive and say, well, you're going to have doubters, but if I didn't have doubters, then what keeps me going? You know, like, what motivates me? You know, because if everybody just, you know, not even so much, you know, that people think you can do it, so you're not motivated that way, but having no reaction. You know, they always say in wrestling, like, when you get no reaction, that's not a good thing. You either want, you know, heat or you want cheering. It's when you get nothing. So that's pretty cool that, you know, you're staying on this hustle, you're proving people wrong. But the one thing I also wanted to note on that is that you went to this show and these kids who, you know, were looking up to you, a lot of them, these smaller towns, they don't have the means or don't, you know, they're not close enough to a bigger name city to see some of the bigger promotions. What does it mean to be able to look at these kids and they look at you as like some superhero or as someone that they idolize? Like, have you ever like kind of had that sink into your mind and say, wow, like take a step back and think about how much you're influencing a new, younger generation of possible talent someday?
Well, it's funny you said superhero, because the same question was asked by Glacier at one of the weeks, and he was like, "What makes you want to be a wrestler?" And at the time, like, I was single, I hadn't met my wife yet, hadn't had my daughter yet, and I was like, you know, honestly, I know I'm gonna have a kid someday, and I want to be that kid's superhero. Like, I want to be like, they're in school, they bring it's show and tell, they bring in the Josh Breezy action figure as opposed to a Batman or Spider-Man. It's like, this is my dad, he's my superhero. So I've always had that. And like, to like the meet and greet line with all those kids, like taking all these pictures and stuff, and like, my pictures are free, everything else is money, but like, if you want to just take a picture with me, that's always going to be free, never going to charge you to take a picture with me. That's crazy. But like, just seeing all the kids and them throwing up the ones and like wanting to like, hey, can I touch your belt? Like, can I hold your belt? Like, something I've seen, something that I've had the I guess the pleasure of doing throughout my life is meeting the Hardy Boys a lot of times, and they've always just been so awesome to the fans. And like, the way Cody is with the fans, Like, that's who I want to be as a wrestler. I don't want to be that wrestler that, like, shuts the fans away, like, leaves me alone, like, all that stuff, or, like, doesn't want to, like, interact with you at the merch lines. Like, I'll sit there and have a conversation with you. I'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. I'll take the picture, selfies. We could take a bunch. Like, so, like, seeing all those kids, it was just like, wow. Like, I think after that, after I stopped the merch line and we got back to the show, I went outside and I think I called my wife and was like, yo, you'll never believe it, but like, I just did 20 minutes of a merch table. Like, this is insane. These kids are like, I'm like a superhero, like literally like a superhero. And I was just over the moon about it. And I was like, everybody's like, oh, like, I wish you guys could come back because I'm booked there again in May at that promotion again, but they run every other month. And they were like, man, I wish you guys would come back every month. Like, we need to see you again. Can I? And like, in the match, I bumped into the ref and then I got rolled up and he pulled my tights, so I got cheated out of the win. So everybody's like, you got to get your get back, you got to get your get back. So like, they're invested into this stuff, and it's like they're stopping, like I'm packing my merch into my car in the parking lot and they're like stopping their cars on the way out to like, hey man, you got to come back, when are we going to see you again? Like, grown men, grown women, young kids, like it's just crazy. Like, they're just so into it. And like you said, like especially these smaller towns and these smaller cities, they don't get a WWE coming to town. They don't get an AEW coming to town. So like, when guys like me do come to town, it is a really big thing. And I wish more wrestlers would see that. I actually just went on like a rant in a group chat for a different promotion about like people not cutting promos for these matches, not having a merch table at these matches. Like, what are you wrestling for? Like, if you're not going to cut a promo to promote your match, who's going to care? If you don't care about your match, nobody's going to care about your match.
It's
Like,
true. It really
if
is.
I just see you on a flyer, okay, that's cool. Who are they? And then I go to your Instagram and it's just like a couple of pictures. There's no, you, I don't know your personality. I don't know your character. I don't know why I should care about this match I'm going to watch. So, no, I'm not going to buy the ticket, even if it's $5. And then, like, you come to my page, you see, oh, wow. Here's a promo for this match. Oh, he's got a promo for this one too. Oh, he's going to be here too. And he cut a promo. So it's like, oh, and he's got a pro wrestling tee. Oh, that's convenient. Let me go buy his t-shirt so I could wear it to the show. Oh, let me, oh, he's got his own website too. Let me go get some other merch. Let me check this guy out. Like, it's just mind boggling. And I was like, what's the point? Like, you're not cutting promos for the show, but you expect people to come. I was like, no, nobody's going to come to a show they don't know about. If you're not sharing the flyer, you're not handing out the flyers. Like, I drove to the show the last time I worked for them. I got there like 3 hours early and was like at the Dollar Tree with flyers at the Walmart. There was a Walmart across the street from the venue. It cannot be more easy to promote a show than to stand in the parking lot with small little 4x6 flyers and say, hey, you like pro wrestling? We're doing a show across the street.
And it's like,
Like
and
it's
it's not to give talent passes, but like, I mean, you said you never turn people away, you'll have a conversation, and I get it, man. It's tiring. It's trying on your mental, your physical, doing a lot of stuff. So even people that are promoting it and stuff, like you catch people sometimes in moments. So not to give anybody a pass, but I could, to an extent justify why people feel like, like, yeah, I don't want to talk or anything like that. But it's to be able to kind of keep pushing through and doing that. And just a quick side story that I have, somebody that I ran into and at the time had no idea who he was. I was at an autograph signing in upstate New York for Shawn Michaels. And this guy's walking up and down, he's handing out flyers, like you said. So he's got these little postcard flyers, he's handing them out, he's signing them for people, not charging nothing. He's just like, come see my show, come see my show. Me and my boy are staring like, who the hell is this guy? And then I come find out later it was Matt Taven. And this was before he became known, before he was doing anything with Ring of Honor. But like, it was something that always kind of stood out in my mind. And there's other wrestlers that are more successful. There's ones that are less successful. But what do you really determine what is success? It's all kind of, I look at success as what you as the person determine is what is successful, not what other people justify as what's successful. But you have to respect that hustle out there where they're going out and grinding. So that's really cool that you're able to keep, that motivation to keep saying, you know what? I'm not going to let nobody tell me no. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep handing out the flyers, keep handing out. And you build an audience and then hopefully someday that audience carries along with you.
Yeah, I mean, like, even to, in your story, like, you didn't know who that was, and then come to find out it's Matt Taven. So in 10 years, when you're like, oh, wow, I remember Josh Breezy handing out little flyers for the Florida Wrestling Empire show at Walmart. Oh, that's cool. He's on TV now. Wow, good for him. Like, it paid off. And it's just like, even to that, like, it doesn't even have to be to that extent. Like, even, like, people don't share flyers. Like,
it's on, the little
on social media. You have social media. Imagine if this was 30 years ago trying to get on as wrestlers.
I don't even think, like, that we had social media popping like that when Matt Taven was handing it out. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, what was really big at the time. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe MySpace was still, like...
MySpace? Like, yeah. Who's on MySpace looking for wrestling? Nobody.
Yeah. Like, they're really, like, Facebook and Twitter and X and, you know, Instagram. Like, a lot of that stuff wasn't really big at the time, you know? And it's just ironic. It's just one of those stories that I always kind of, like... It's always kind of resonated with me. And I still have the postcard. I'm going to have to post that on socials that he signed it. I still have it. It's framed. It's in the studio. But then he went on to do, you know, big things. So, you know, hopefully, you know, these people that they see you and everything, they continue to follow you along. But one of the things you told me is that you kind of got away from wrestling for a while there, and then you came back to it. How often do you get to watch any of the current products out there? Being a you know, a father, working a regular 9-to-5 job, doing your own thing in wrestling, you got to keep continuing to scout everything. But a lot of people sometimes they say they just don't get to watch everything. I have a hard time watching everything, and I'm not a pro wrestler. So, how often do you get to watch the product, and how much of it are you staying up to date with?
I will be completely honest. I don't watch WWE. I go to Twitter to see what's going on. The way they've dragged it out with the Cody story is kind of just not pissed me off, because, like, he should have won at WrestleMania. Like, you should have just gave him that moment. Like, I get what they're trying to do with Reigns and Rock and all this nonsense, but, like, if we're, like, I don't know. And then before they got rid of Kevin Dunn, like, all the camera cuts really just gave me a headache, which, like, literally it'd be like 17 camera cuts in a half a second. And, like, literally I would try to watch, because I'd be like, all right, let me go watch Coach. And then I turn it on, and literally 20 minutes later, I'd be like, all right, I'm done. Like,
I can't see you're watching that.
Yeah. So, like, I know they've changed a lot, and I've been watching a lot on, like, social media and stuff, because usually Mondays, I'm probably at the gym or just leaving the gym when Raw starts, and I don't have cable, so it's tough. I'm not about to download the USA Network. I keep up with Dynamite a lot more often, especially the last couple of weeks. They've been doing a lot of good shows, but I have the TBS app for that. And then sometimes I'll catch Collision on a Saturday, not so much recently. But I try to stay up to date with everything to a point. But as far as, like, actually sitting down and watching it, not too often, just because, like you said, like, there's so many other things going on. And it's just, like, most of the times I'm, like, watching older matches or, like, on YouTube or something like that, watching a match to study or steal a spot from, or looking back at this. Or I'm watching what I found myself watching a lot is just different ways to, like, market yourself. So, like, I Matt Cardona just posted a video about, like, what to have at your merch table, a couple other videos in that same vein. So I've been watching that. I'll watch a lot of, like, just DIY marketing stuff just to be a better version of myself, or try to study YouTube algorithms and things like that.
Definitely bring your own water too. If you ask Matt, you know, Matt will tell you, make sure you have water.
Yeah.
Make sure you have water at your shows. I don't know if you saw that recently where I guess somebody didn't even have water at his show. But that's
crazy,
but it's,
like,
to have that hustle and that mentality, you're like, you know what, I'm going to buy some water and I'm going to, you know, wrap my logo on it or something, throw a sticker on it, you know, and I'm selling water.
I did that. I've done that before in college. I went to school at the University of Bridgeport for music. And you could do a table outside the lunchroom. And, like, usually it would be to, like, promote an event or something. But I had a clothing line at the time that I was pushing, and we were raising money for Alzheimer's awareness. I still donate to the Alzheimer's Association, but at the time, like, it was very focused. So I bought, like, 3 cases of water, from Walmart, great value, bought a bunch of my own custom labels off some website, and spent like a whole couple days like just wrapping a bunch of these. And then I got to the table, I had my shirts, my hoodies, my hats, and then I had a whole thing of these custom water bottles, and everybody was just looking at it like, oh, like, is this your water? And I was like, yeah.
But
So
people
like,
remember
and
that.
then it's yeah, and then it's and then you always sell it cheaper than what they're selling it at the store, like at the school store or whatever, so people are gonna buy your water.
It's
So
having that
yeah, man.
hustler mentality. Like I said, it's that hustler Mamba mentality. And I know
Always,
we're gonna
man.
talk about that because on your bio on X you have on there is that you are the Kobe Bryant of Hardy Collectibles. And it was crazy. I was scrolling through your X page and look at some of the videos, and I love that you have all the wrestling figures. It reminds me of my studio where I have all the wrestling figures all over the walls. I have stuff like across the ceiling and everything like that. Kind of tell everybody how you feed that addiction for collecting. Was it, I guess, is it just Hardy action figures or is it just wrestling
Yeah,
action
she's just
figures
the
in
Hardy
general?
Boys.
Wow.
Just the Hardys and Team Extreme. Thankfully, you know, they have a lot. Over 200, I think it's like 240 probably altogether. I think I have 225 of them. There's not a
Wow.
lot that I'm missing. It's funny because it's really to the point. Like the other day I just bought a sealed box of 50 sealed Leap of Faith Hardy Boys VHS tapes. And it's like I like so there's another guy that collects Hardys, but he mostly just collects Matt, and he had bought it and he was like, look what I got. And I was like, dang, that's crazy. And then I was like looking on eBay to see how much you got it for, and the seller still had a bunch, like 8 more boxes. And I was like, no way, no, nah, I gotta get this. And then I bought it and I was like, man, this is really where I'm at with this, huh? I'm buying VHS.
It's crazy. You see how much these things go for, though. Like people are reselling, still shrink wrapped copies of like old VHS tapes and like video games. So like Super Mario Brothers 3 never opened, and I'm like, you would never think that something like that would go for crazy money.
Yeah, man, some of these are insane. And like we just had my daughter's birthday party and I was doing like these little tours of my toy room, and people were like I had my boss and the director of government came to the party, and I brought them in there and they were just like, wow, like they just couldn't, like there was no words. And then like at my office I have probably like 10 group from Guardians of the Galaxy Funko Pops. And like my boss always like, so it's cute, blah, blah, blah. But then she came in here and she was like, oh, so this is like, so what's that work? Is just like nothing. And I was just like, yeah, no.
Has
That's
anybody
just
ever
because
tried to have an
I like group.
intervention with you or try to talk to you
I
about
mean,
this?
no. Luckily enough for me, like my wife has been very supportive of this. When we were looking for houses to move into, I was very adamant
That's
about
key.
having
To
a
get her
third
on
bedroom.
board is a big thing. That is a
Yeah,
big
well,
plus.
when we first started dating, I was living by myself in a 3-bedroom in North Carolina, and she came down or came up from Florida, and like I brought her in that thing room and she was just like, this is like a museum. Like, this isn't a toy room, this is
That
a
could be a deal
museum.
breaker right there. That could be, you know what I mean? Like,
Yes.
I just drove
Yo,
all
it
this
definitely
while,
is.
and now, you know, like I'm dating a psychopath.
Yeah. But it's just yeah, so she was always on board with it. So we got the third bedroom. I was fine. Like I had this in a storage unit in Tubbs in North Carolina for like a year and a half. Then we moved to an apartment. I finally brought it down to Florida, set it up in a storage unit by itself, and then we moved to this house here, and now I kind of finally have it like home and on display. But yeah, no, what fuels the addiction is just when I was 15 playing baseball, tore my knee up, got prescribed whole lot of pain pills, was hooked on those, got out of that and just needed something to replace it with, and I was collecting action figures, so here I am
Now
scrolling eBay every day.
having a young daughter, how do you prevent her from wanting to play with daddy's toys?
So she comes in here every now and again. Mommy will bring her in, and like it's almost like she's like has no words. Like she doesn't even speak yet, but she comes in and she just like stares around, and she's just like, wow. And she just look around.
Yeah.
I have a loose a loose AJ Styles in my TNA display over here. She was like reaching for it the other day. I was sitting here playing Warzone, and she was like sitting on my lap while mommy went to the bathroom or whatever, and she's picking it up and she's just like looking at it and like playing and swinging it around. And I was like, you know, one day, you know, and I'm old and gray, so I'll be yours. You can sell it, do whatever you want with it.
You may have to put like one of those digital locks or something on the door so she doesn't start ripping things open.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't know what would happen there. She just busts in here, starts ripping things. Of course, she would rip open like the expensive ones.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be like the cheap basics or something.
Yeah, don't rip open the five below ones. You know what I mean? Like she's ripping up the collector ones. Put all those real high. Go, you know,
go for the limited edition Jeff Ring Giant mint in box. So let's bust that one open.
Or she's gonna have her own ladder match or whatever. She's gonna start climbing the ladder, grab the ones that are very at the top or something. You know.
Yeah.
No.
Climb up the shelf with the collectibles.
So, I mean, you say you don't watch WWE and everything, but I mean, obviously, it's a big storyline right now with finishing the story with Cody, having, you know, keeping up to date with it through social medias and everything. What is your kind of prediction of what's going to happen at WrestleMania, good or bad? Because I've heard people saying some good things. Other people that are like, you know, I don't want to say anybody up because I think you might be disappointed about something. But how do you think this is all going to play out?
I think no matter what happens, the pop is not going to be as big as it would have been if they pulled the trigger originally. Mm-hmm. The way that it's looking is that The Rock is going to turn on Roman, and then he's going to help Cody win. And then they'll be like, oh, that's what The Rock said to Cody when he, like, pulled him in for the hug. He was like, just sit back and relax. I'm going to help you. But it just takes it away from Cody. Like, Cody shouldn't need The Rock to beat Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Like, so it's, like, tarnishing him there. And then, like, them having to drag this out because WrestleMania was however many weeks away. And, like, it's just, even Roman Reigns said it in his promo. I just watched him. He was like, didn't you say that last week? And it's like, you have to, because, like, how many different ways can you build this same story that Cody's been building this story for 2 years? Mm-hmm. Like, how long is he supposed to keep on this thing? And, like, now he's got to rearrange, like, his way. He had to fight back and win the Rumble again, and now The Rock's here, and now he's got to, like, overcome The Rock. And, like, The Rock being handed some things, and it's just, like, it's almost, like, to the point where it's just repetitive. And, like, I remember Paul Heyman saying, like, oh, there's so many layers to this story or whatever. We're just getting started. This is a third inning or whatever mm-hmm. he said. And it's like, all right, well, there's a reason there's a seventh inning stretch, but I feel like we're in extras. Like,
yeah.
And I just want to go home. So I just feel like it's just no matter what happens, like it's not going to be as great of a pop. It's not going to be as great of a feeling. Like you're not going to like I feel like there's so many people that just don't feel it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's how the new mentality, I think, of wrestling fans are now than what wrestling fans were back in the day. Not saying anybody's wrong in their mindset or feelings or opinions on anything, but I mean, we went from a generation where it was like we didn't have social medias. We didn't have as many weekly television shows. So you could build a story for months, a year, and then have a big payoff at the end. But now it's like it's so much harder to do that when you have like 24/7 access to what's going on in the pro wrestling world. And I agree with what you're saying, too, because I've had people tell me that they were like, well, you know, it kind of tarnishes everything that Cody's done because he would need help from The Rock to do it, so it makes him look weak. But then other people would counter and say, but it also makes – it would make Roman look weak, and that whole buildup of him having this long, you know, tenure with the title only to, you know, to lose the Kobe, so it kind of takes a shot at him. And then other people are like, but – how can you have Roman like get this close to beating Hogan's record only for him to lose? So, I mean,
that's another thing. It just feels like they don't know what they want to do. They're like, well, because like reality is Roman needs to drop the title, but in their mind, they want to get rid of Hogan being the whatever his record is for political reasons. But it's like, all right, so are we doing that? Or are we giving the fans what they want? Are we giving Roman what he wants? Are we giving Cody? Like, why did we sign Cody then? So it's like,
yeah.
You brought Cody in for a reason. He was even bigger of a star than you could have ever imagined. He's literally replaced John Cena, which you were trying to do with Roman Reigns for a decade. And now you finally got the guy. But you're like, well, we still got to give Roman this. And it's like, all right, so you're like dangling it. And it's just like, I am all for long-term storytelling, but there's been so much rinse and repeat in this. Even down to the Usos, like first the one Uso was like, I'm out of the bloodline. Then the other one was like, I'm out of the bloodline. And then he was like, I'm back in the bloodline. I'm back in the bloodline. Now we're both out of the bloodline. Now we're back in, like, it's just like, all right, like yeah. we could have either held off on either one of them or extended one of them being out longer. And then like, it was kind of fresh adding Sami Zayn. You could have added more people to the bloodline.
Yeah.
Like instead of just having people drop in and out and having Sami Zayn like fake join in just to turn back around, whatever, like there's so many people that are wrestlers that are in that family. What really blows my mind is they never brought in Rikishi.
Yeah.
They had Asuka and Zika crown Roman Reigns, but never brought Rikishi on television. Who's in, also let me stop right here. Prayers to Asuka.
Yeah, I did see the news the other day about that.
He's in not the best condition. I had the honor of working his promotion one time. It's just prayers out to him and his whole family there. But onto a better note, like it always blew my mind that the Usos' dad has never been brought in. And like, huh? Like it's so easy, and he's such a fan favorite. Like if he came out, especially they're fighting, like they're beefing as brothers. And their dad is a wrestler, a legend, a Hall of Famer, and you're not going to bring him out?
Yeah.
Not even, like, once? Because you know how great it would have been if when they were, like, joining the bloodline or whatever, if Rikishi would have came out and been, like, you know, stop the fighting, and then the bad Uso super kicked Rikishi?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But that's the great thing about it, I think, is, you know, I try to not get so caught up in it, and I try to take a step back and say, you know, the good thing is that at least we're talking about the product and we're fantasy booking and saying we should be doing this, yeah. We shouldn't be doing that. And I think, like, that's the great thing about pro wrestling is the fact that we're coming up with these scenarios. We're coming up with different things they should have done. Should have done this. Should have done this. Love that they did this. Didn't really like that they did that. Mm. Like, that tells me the bigger picture is that it's healthy. The business is healthy. It's healthy to the fact now that you
much
have
much better than it was a few years ago.
Yes, and a lot of that could be brought on too by having AEW as someone who's out there and forever, you know, the tribalism of AEW fans and WWE fans. But it's good. It's good overall for the business. And I tell people all the time, I was like, I watch everything until, you know, Tony Khan writes me a check, until, you know, TKO writes me a check and says you have to be loyal to my brand. I watch everything because I'm a fan. You know, and that's the great thing. Yeah. So I'm excited for this WrestleMania. Whatever the outcome's going to be, is just taking it in, because to say I'm blessed to be able to go to a WrestleMania as many times as I've been there, you know, you just kind of like look at it that way. And there's so many people that get so caught up in their feelings with it. And I love the passion about it. But I tell people, I'm like, just enjoy the moment. Take it all in, because, again, who knows, 30 years from now, we can look back at this and say, man, remember when they did this? This would have been awesome if they did that. You know, it's one of those things. I mean, that's me as a fanboy just saying, you know what? I'm just enjoying the ride, however this ride decides to take me.
Yeah. I mean, I watch all of the WWE pay-per-views. I don't miss a pay-per-view. I'll always check in. I feel like that's when they're at their best. It's always a good show. It's funny you brought up the tribalism, because I just, there was a guy, they were talking about Matt Hardy's AEW contract. And this kid was like, oh, I hope he leaves WWE so I could play with him in video games and get action figures. And my comment was simply, he's in the AEW video game and he has action figures. So then he like snapped on me and was like, yeah, but Jeff doesn't have an action figure and he's not in the video game. And I would just prefer them being WWE, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so you just support WWE. You don't support the wrestler.
You could fall down a hole real quick with people on social media. Yo, I try not to do that.
And I was like, I had time that day. I was at the gym doing
I was gonna say, you
cardio
gotta have
before.
time. That's like when that's like a bathroom break where you're in there, you're like, what are you doing in there? Just arguing with trolls about what happened on Dynamite and Raw. And
yeah, and then I'm like, Jeff does have an action figure, I just pre-ordered two. And he was like, oh, but that's a pre-order, it doesn't count, it's still in pre-production. And I'm like, no, it's not, it's going to be delivered to my house in May, so that means they already have them made, they're just trying to see how many they need to order.
So,
and then it was, then he DMs me and he's like, I was a fan of yours, you lost a fan today, you're a psychopath, start with me, I just prefer Mattel's action figures over Jazzwares, and blah blah blah. And I'm like, well, that's not what you said. I was like, I'm called me like an egomaniac. And he was like, wait, you're, I was like, you're a fan of me, I've never seen your name, you don't follow me on anything, like, what are you talking about? And he was like, well, then it was, oh well, I just recognized your name. And then he tried
but
to.
That's a good thing, though.
Like,
well, thank you for recognizing the name. Yeah. Like, I appreciate that.
And I was like,
I'm
oh,
doing
thanks,
something
man.
Right.
Like, and I was just, and then like in the back of my head, I could just hear Cody. And now here, this is probably, I'll probably answer my own question. This is probably why I'm the quote unquote black sheep of the Nightmare Factory, because I always have time. And Carly Bravo will text me frequently and be like, "Bro, chill out on Twitter," because I will reply to things. I will. Like, if I see, like, some weird discourse going on where they, like, just sound like they're totally ignorant to the situation, I'll reply. Because I'm very much the shout out to Carly Bravo and the Infantry, but I'm very much the Kanye to Carly's Jay-Z, whereas Jay-Z, like, does everything the right way, and Kanye just says whatever he has to say. Carly will definitely go about things in a much different way than me, and he definitely is, like, a big brother to me in a lot of ways with that. Cause like, especially if it has to do with the Hardys, I'm in the comments. Like if you're like trying to tell me that they're bad, they shouldn't be on TV, but then in the same breath, oh, I want them back at WWE. I'll be like, okay, so you're like a WWE tribalist. Like you don't care who goes to WWE. They'll be the best thing since sliced bread over there. But because they're in WWE, they're washed.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carly be like, bro, chill out.
It's funny. Like, cause we were talking on X, you and me were kind of talking a little bit, and I was saying about how like Mercedes made her debut on AEW, and it was the worst kept secret in all of wrestling. Everybody knew this was going to happen, and I had made the comment out there, and I was kind of baiting people. I was gaslighting some people, you know. I said, how many of these fans hated her guts in WWE, but now that she's in AEW, it's like she's the greatest thing, and vice versa, you know.
Yeah, definitely vice versa.
And I tell people all the time, again, hey, my bank account, I mean, I can give you my Venmo, my Zelle, any other ways that you want to PayPal me, however, you know, I don't have Cash App, you know, but I mean, I got ways of giving me money if you want me to say that your person is better than this person and all that. But I mean, again, I kind of take a step back and I laugh and I say, you gotta appreciate the passion of it. And again, I try not to fall down those rabbit holes, especially when it comes to, you know, wrestling, politics, or religion. I'm like, I'm not going to touch those. But again,
right,
it's going to be
three things we don't bring up at family yet.
Yes,
wrestling,
exactly.
Politics.
Do not come to the cookout with those three topics, and don't put raisins in the potato salad.
Yep, no raisins, and please don't ask me if I think that the Hogan and Rock match is the greatest match of all time, because it's not.
Well, the cool thing is like you said, you're active with people on social media. So let everyone know where they can find you at on social medias in case they want to troll you, follow you, argue with you, you know, support you, just everything interacting with you on socials.
You can follow me on Instagram. I'm probably second most active on there. At Real Josh Breezy, 2 E's, 2 Z's, 2 Y's. On Twitter, it's just at Josh Breezy. If you want to get into an argument, I always have time. I'm usually Monday through Thursday, I'm usually just at a desk all day. So you could definitely catch me with some time. Again, 2 E's, 2 Z's, 2 Y's. You can go to joshbreezy.com or shop Pro Wrestling Tees. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/Josh Breezy. Get some merch. Or if you're really feeling froggy, you could order a cameo at cameo.com/realjoshbreezy.
Very awesome. And one of the cool things I noticed, I was looking through your X, you have a trading card right now. You still have those available, signed trading cards. That's really cool. That's a big market right now. It's the trading card market.
They're actually pretty popular at the table. I had a few, probably sold about like 10 or 20 online. But literally kids come up, oh wow, I'll take one of these. And then the cool thing is like I sign them all. So like I sign it right there in front of you.
That's
They're
dope.
1 of 500. I'm not gonna do another one of that kind. So like once I'm out, I'm out. That's another thing. I learned a lot from like listening to the Major Wrestling Figure podcast with Cardona and Myers, just about like just the way they, excuse me, just the way they do their business model. Like limited edition things, like my action figure, limited edition, 100 of them. Once they're out, they're
You gotta
out.
let them breathe, you know. Sometimes
Yeah.
you gotta open up and let them
So
breathe a
like,
little.
I had so many people like ask me recently, like, oh, like I tried to purchase your action figure, but it says sold out. I'm like, yeah, once it's sold out, it's NWO sold out. I don't know what to tell you, man. You should have, like, I did a pre-order for 2 months. You didn't buy it. I still had some left because I bought extra, like I purchased extras when I was getting them made, and you still didn't buy
You
it.
gotta
But now
cue up
that you
that
see, like,
NWO
everybody has
sound.
them, yeah. Once you see, like, you see everybody has them, you see, like, people are like, wow, these are actually pretty cool. You're like, oh, I want one. Sorry, buddy, they're gone.
That's what I
Like,
say. You gotta have the
I think I
stage man
had.
hit the button. It's like loser.
Right?
You missed out, you know.
That's funny. But yeah, like, eventually I'll make another one, probably. But yeah, man, same thing. Like, I try to have a different 8x10 for different shows. I try to have just something so like when they do go back, like it's like, wow, this was from this moment.
Yeah.
Like they can't say like you can't just order a Josh Breezy 8x10 anytime between now and then and you have the same one as the person who got it from my merch table when I was wrestling in front of 50 people. Like there's some people from that have a 8x10 from like the nice guys. From like right fresh out of the Nightmare Factory, there's probably 15 of those somewhere. Like, so in the long run, if somebody pops that on eBay, it's 1 of 15. So the price is already up. Like, there might not be the greatest market, or there might be a huge market. Like, if I'm as big as the Hardys in 10 years and you have that, like, if I had a signed, like 8x10 from like an Omega or like a trampoline wrestling when they were wrestling on trampolines in North Carolina. If I had something from there, man, that's like priceless.
Yeah, it's one of those things, man. You never know. Somebody might have, a bunch of, your DVDs or something, and is buying a case of them. Well,
Yeah.
is there anything
And
else
there's.
you want the fans to know? Anything you want to hype up that we didn't discuss? This is your
Not
open mic
really.
time. I'm giving you,
All
creative control and an open mic to say whatever you want to say to the fans.
right. Well, if you're listening to this, you probably like music. So go stream my greatest hits album, Breezy B-Sides. If you're looking for the Chris Brown album, Breezy, it looks just like that because marketing. But Breezy B-Sides got a lot of slaps on there. It's available on all DSPs. Yeah, man. As somebody on the autism spectrum, never count us out. We always find a different piece to the puzzle. We're always gonna figure it out. We're always gonna do more than what you think we're gonna do. So the next show, if you're in the Florida area, Florida Wrestling Empire is running in Dunnellan, Florida, April 26th. And then River City Wrestling Con. If you like Jeff Hardy, if you like Sting, Mick Foley, Lita, Trish, Al Snow, X-Pac, Lex Luger, and Josh Breezy, come to River City Wrestling Con in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm gonna be there next to all those legends. So when their lines are too long, you can come visit me at my Virgil-esque table, RIP. And yeah, man, if anybody's listening to this and wants to talk about anything, I'm always open book. One last thing. Don't be afraid to chase your dreams. If you're listening to this, and if you take away anything, you could forget anything else I said. Just go out and do, like I said earlier, you only have one life. So no matter what your dream is, find a way to get there. Whether that's doing a little something every day to get towards that goal. If you want to start an Etsy store, but you work 9 to 5, start one. Like, take some money, start one, and just do it little by little till you get to a point where that Etsy store becomes your 9 to 5. Like, so many people just, I can't, I can't, I can't, I don't have the time. There's 24 hours in a day, but listen, you're gonna be here for those 24 hours no matter what. So just go do what makes you happy. If you're not happy in your current situation, your job owes you nothing. They will fire you without notice, so but they'll make you give a 2-week notice. Remember that. So they don't owe you nothing.
It's big
They don't care
facts.
about you as much as they make you think. So don't care about them. Do your job and go home and work on your life.
And that's
That's
well
all I got to
said,
say
man.
about that.
And yeah, it's well said. And I think we want to end it on the old Dusty Rhodes quote where he's like, get a dream, hold on to it, and shoot for the sky. I think that just kind of goes full circle, having worked with Cody and his father and everything. Is man, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep pushing forward and just, don't be afraid to fail. Just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it all gets recognized in the end, and it's
Exactly.
so worthwhile at the end when you can look back at it and take that time to look back at what you've done. Look back at what you've done and say, what was I doing? Facebook and your phones, they all do great things with these little memories, like this is what happened back 5 years ago, last year. So just hold on to that. And like I said, man, I appreciate you, Brody, for coming on and talking to us, and can't wait to see and hear more big things from you. We got to welcome you back on again. So anytime you're ready to chop it up again, you're always welcome to come back on the show.
Hell yeah, man. We could definitely, once Drake responds to Kendrick, you can get me right back on here because the hip hop Royal Rumble is coming out, so.
Hey, you never know. You might hear something pop up at Wale Mania. You never know what happened. Maybe some have a surprise entry and appearance on that. So everybody is waiting to see what's going to happen with that. Drake 42 on Sirius XM. You never know. He might have a world premiere or something on there. Who knows, right? Well, again, man, we appreciate it, and a big, big success to you. And we can't wait to see and hear more things real soon.
Awesome, man. Thank you. This is the answer, Josh Breezy, and you are listening to Mixmaster B on MMB Radio.